The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 20th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said to them, 'You go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right I will give you.' So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, 'Why do you stand here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You go into the vineyard too.' And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first.' And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. And when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more. But each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?' So the last will be first, and the first last." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. I invite you to take the bulletin outline out of the bulletin. And as an Old Testament major, I delight in using Old Testament texts. And I'm looking at our first lesson from the prophet Isaiah. And the lesson began with these words: "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Please bow with me. Lord God, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. And everyone said, Amen. Amen. You no doubt know the Aesop fable, The Boy Who Cried Wolf, right? You'll remember that the boy had charge of the sheep that belonged to the village nearby. And watching sheep, he was bored to tears. And for a little excitement, he decides that he will try to trick the townspeople with a false alarm just to watch everybody scurrying about to protect the village sheep. And so he cries wolf, and out the clamor comes with pitchforks and the like, and he laughs. And he repeats this. But as you'll remember, the day came when an actual wolf appeared, and then his earnest cry of alarm went unheeded, so that the sheep were eaten by the wolf. I want us to take a look at the text this morning from a sense of urgency and alarm. And just like so much of Scripture has a certain urgency to it, the urgency being a little bit like this, that time and availability will come to an all too sudden end, so take advantage of things while you can. That kind of urgency goes throughout the Scriptures. I think of the Apostle Paul in his letter to the church in Corinth when he writes, "Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Or how about the words in Revelation? Remember then what you have received and heard. Keep it and repent. If you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come to against you. And even from the lips of our Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 24, where he talks about the events of his return one day. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Do you hear the urgency? The alarm? It's there with Isaiah too. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him when he is near. For there'll come a time where he can't be found and where he's not nearby to call upon. That sense of urgency. Isn't the temptation, especially when we take a look at the impending judgment at the end of the age, to say, isn't this a little crying wolf? This was spoken 2,000 years ago with our Lord Jesus about his return, and here we are nearly 2,000 years later. Maybe this is just crying wolf. How is it possible to remain urgent when there's such a seeming delay? By the way, in so many of the parables that Jesus tells about his delay, it often says, and as the master was delayed, I mean, it's even hinted at that there would be a delay. So how about this matter? And you know, critics say that. You people look for the Lord to return. And this whole cosmos is eons old, and it's going to remain a long time. What's all this alarmist kind of talk? I think it'd be helpful to take a look at what's meant by something that is urgent, urgency. I think there's at least two distinct senses of urgency. And they're not mutually exclusive, but they are different. Let me explain. There's the sense of urgency that I would call an emotional, an excitable, an adrenaline-pumping kind of emergency. Like you're in a theater and somebody yells, fire! That'll get the blood pumping, huh? That'll get the adrenaline. The big fear there is there'll be a panic and maybe a stampede. That's why it's illegal to yell that out, and it's a crime, even with free speech. So if you hear that, there's that kind of urgency, right? An excitable kind of urgency. But there's a second kind of urgency, and I would label that more of a kind of a mental, disciplined, vigilant kind of urgency. There's an importance, but this is a more sustained kind of being urgent about a matter. Maybe that could be typified by a night watchman in a museum, for instance, or sentries posted on the walls of an old city looking out for dangers, invading armies, right? There's a sense of urgency to the job. Things can happen suddenly, but the amount of time needed to be urgent needs to be sustained. And you know, you just can't sustain being emotional all the time or being excited or having adrenaline. You come down after an adrenaline rush. Imagine the night watchman in a museum. Museums do get broken into. And security becomes very important because there can be very priceless artifacts in some of the famous museums, and they have night watchmen. Can you imagine somebody on their first night as a night watchman? That first sense of urgency would likely be there. My goodness, I'm prepared, I've been training, I know what to do, but boy, I hope it doesn't happen tonight. There could be an excitability, there could be a little adrenaline. But people will go a whole career as a night watchman And the place that they're looking over, in this case I'm talking about a museum, may never have a break-in or a burglary the whole time. But it does happen. The kind of fevered, excitable alertness can't possibly be sustained, but there's a vigilant, serious kind of making the rounds, staying awake, drinking coffee, checking things out, going through the routines of what to do in case an incident happens. One can even imagine that from time to time something falls or there's a noise or just some strange noise somewhere, that all of a sudden that vigilant kind of urgency slips into a more adrenaline-producing urgency, right? Or imagine the curator that forgets to mention that comes in late and suddenly appears at the door. That could get quite a rush, right? This second sense of urgency is something that may be helpful for us in understanding the urgency that I think is in our first lesson and throughout Scripture. And it doesn't take away from the suddenness of what all the vigilance is all about. So let's take a look at our first lesson. And to understand it well, there are just three verses, 6-9. But I think it's more helpful to put those three verses into a larger context of 11 verses. So on the outline, you'll see that I've added the verses before the first five verses and then the last verses after 9 through verse 11. So we hear this appeal being made. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him when he is near. What is this seeking and calling all about? And the context is everything here. Starting at the very beginning of the chapter, I hope these words will sound familiar to you. Isaiah is such a beautiful book. The language is so exalted. I hope these words sound familiar. Come, everyone who thirst, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? What's going on here? This call to a banquet of free food, of really satisfying food and drink, is actually the food and drink of our salvation. And the Scripture often speaks of our salvation as a banquet or as a wedding feast. Beautiful way to talk about our salvation. There's an invitation here, and that's important to understand when we hear these words, seek the Lord while he may be found. Because the kind of seeking that's going on here is a seeking that'll happen with one's ears. And we'll pick up that right away as I read on. Listen diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me, hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Oh, there's so much to say here, but I'll be brief in saying this much. Whatever seeking is going on here, it's with the ear, and it's not finding something and having the skill to be able to find it. It's an invitation that's already come to us, and now we seek it with our ears by listening diligently. And by the way, this food is free that satisfies because it's been paid for already. If you're familiar at all with Isaiah, you'll back up just a couple of chapters to Isaiah 53, and I hope that rings some bells. That's the suffering servant. It almost should be the fifth gospel in the New Testament because it talks about the suffering servant whose death atones for our sins and takes care of our trespasses. This is the price of the suffering servant who suffers and dies to buy us the bread and drink of our salvation. And so we seek with our ears as we listen diligently. And this invitation comes to us in God's Word. That's why the last two verses that I should know from memory, 10 and 11, talks about God's word. As the rain and snow come down from heaven and return not thither, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it and accomplish that which I purpose. I hope you see that. Seek the Lord. I'll get the words here in a minute. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Listen to the word while it's available. You don't know when you won't be able to hear the word again. When a heart becomes so hardened, it's not able to hear any longer. Or whether the Lord returns or not, and he will one day, and we wouldn't be the first to wonder, boy, what's going on in the world today? How long, Lord? How long? But we don't know how long our lives will last in this temporal age, right? Listen while you can. Listen attentively. This whole business about eating is helpful to us in the sense of urgency of the contrast that I have. The more excitable kind of urgency and the more sustained, mental, disciplined, vigilant kind of eating. If you haven't eaten a meal for quite a while, if you've been without, if you're starving, you'll be very excited when food presents itself to you. If you're eating for the first time, you'll latch on really good and draw all the nourishment and sustenance that you can. And that's wonderful. But our regular good habits of nutrition are no less urgent, even if not quite as exciting. Three good staple meals. When we're not vigilant here in its importance, maybe we're not eating well-balanced meals, and our health suffers for it. Sometimes eating's more exciting than at other times. Sometimes we appreciate more when we have food than at other times, especially we who have such an abundance in our culture with many of our incomes and with the abundance of food. But whether exciting or not, the urgency and importance of continuing to eat good, balanced meals. Just so the urgency we have in participating in the meal of our salvation. That's the first lesson. Our gospel lesson dovetails very nice, and it's meant to. The homeowner that hires laborers throughout the day, right? None of them start at the day with prospects of having a daily wage. That's what a denarius is. All anxious about it, but some are less anxious than others because at the very beginning of the day, there's some that are hired and they know as they work, they know that they have a daily wage coming to them. Other people fretted longer through the day and some fretted the whole day wondering how they're going to have the substance for the day because they have not a daily's wage for their living need. But in the last hour, they were hired at 9 a.m. and noon and 3 p.m. and then at 5 o'clock, there are some that are hired. The real emphasis is on the first ones that are hired, having worked the brunt of the day, can't believe that they're not going to get more even though they agreed to a day's wage. And that's where it's really punctuated, but I want to manipulate just a little bit. And I think I can do it and make sense with the sense of urgency I'm talking about. One of the problems they had in begrudging the generosity is maybe forgetting how excited they were when they discovered at the very beginning of the day that they would have labor and they would have a daily wage. But that excitement couldn't stay there all day, could it not? 9 a.m., 12 p.m., and 3 p.m. workers were excited for a while. And then they got more routine, but they were vigilant to the close of the day because that's what the agreement was. They had forgotten that. But imagine, and here's where I'm going to manipulate. Imagine if they'd said, you know what really only matters is that you work an hour. And we were pretty excited to get the job. And this owner, he'll pay no matter what's done. There are late workers that get everything. So we'll just blow it off and leave and then show up at pay time. Do you think they would have gotten paid? No. There's a different kind of an urgency to continue to see the importance and to be thankful for the generosity that has been shown us. Maybe in short it could just be summed up with these words. Out of great gratitude for God's abundant generosity, do not neglect your salvation. Be urgent and serious about it while you can still listen diligently to His word. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. And everyone said,
Amen.
Ben, please rise. And our hymn number is 419.